Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Up on TSN 2 later this hour, Mike Johnson will join us, our TSN hockey analyst. Big hits in the NHL, that's the topic of discussion. Big hits in the NHL. How dare you possibly hit a guy like that? Luke Shen hit on Slavkovsky last night. It was a great hit.
That's a question?
He got a penalty for it.
Oh, my God.
He got a penalty for it because he hit the first overall pick. He hit him too hard, and Slavkovsky was all bent out of shape. It's a great hit.
But
the Dahlin hit the other day was a great hit.
Well, even the Trouba on
Trouba hit was a great hit.
Honestly, it's transitioning into the European reffing at the World Championships, where if you hit a guy hard, nobody likes it, and they don't want to see it. You know, in the World Championships where there's a really bad, not a bad hit, but a really hard
big hit.
Yeah, where it's a yard sale and the guy goes flying and the ref just goes, arm comes up and he's like, I don't even know what the hell this is, but I don't like it.
It doesn't look good. It's a reaction. It's a reactionary. And then there's got to be a fight after that.
Yeah, Jack guy went at him last night.
Because you go at it. It just, I don't mind the physicality. And
I love the physicality.
There isn't any anymore. And then is something, it's a gong show.
That's the problem, there's no big hits anymore. So when they happen, it's such a shock to the system.
Yeah. And it just caters to skill guys skating around the ice with their head directly up their ass. Yeah. And they're staring at the puck and looking down. And then when they get crushed and their head pops off of their body, they're wondering what happened. Yeah. It's just catering to it. It's crazy stuff.
One of the hard,
that just fired me up. I can't even believe it.
But you think about it, we all laugh. Like, you even brought it up the other day, the Wendell hit on Bruce Bell and, John Casey getting a shot in the
Cocoa bunk.
We don't see that anymore. So when you see a big hit, it's not only a shock for the guys on the ice, it's a shock for the fans because you're but in our mind, this is what I don't like. Right away, if I'm working as an analyst, you're going, okay, clean hit, head, you're running the checklist in your head.
Even when you're sitting, if you're sitting with Paul Medeiros watching a game, or you're sitting with a bunch of people watching a game, just different people from walks of life, not necessarily hockey fans, and you see a violent hit like that, Hayes, and you spout it off and said, man, that was a great hit. It's almost like people now would look at you like you're crazy.
No, you're
Like, how could you actually even say that?
Yeah.
Say the term, that's a great hit, it's almost like blaspheme these days.
Well, some people in the game that love the game or claim to love the game and hate the physicality and always have, and the game has softened in so many different ways.
Right.
I've been yelling about this forever. The loud voices in and around the sport that have been advocates to get rid of everything, fighting, big hits, bad hits, all that kind of stuff, They don't even realize how much they've won because the game has changed so drastically.
Yeah.
And what has happened now is if you say great hit, it's almost as if people are like, oh, that means you like people getting hurt. It's like, no one's saying they want people hurt. I'm not saying I like bad hits.
It's allowed. It's allowed. You're allowed to say it. But people look at you like,
yes,
I don't like bad
hits. No. I don't want people getting head hits and anything like that. Not acceptable.
No. Body contact is still,
it's great for the game.
It's allowed.
It's allowed, and it's great for the game.
In the rule book, you are still legally allowed to have physical contact. Not from behind, not headshots.
Right.
That's what the league has been working hard and still.
As they should. Get rid of the garbage.
Get rid of it. The hitting from behind, we all hate it. It's the worst hit in hockey. But for a guy coming through the middle and a perfectly timed hit where it's a shoulder to the chest, and it knocks the guy, through the air. Now it's a fight. Now even go a step further. You have to check who it is. If it's Matthews, McDavid, if it's a star. Like McKinnon got a poke last night and he got injured.
He could be out for a bit.
Which that didn't look good. Like anything, though. Lawton pushed him against the boards.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that injured him or that led to it, but Like, I understand protecting stars. I get that. But you're still allowed to be physical.
Well, what was the penalty on Shen?
He got, I think it was interference.
Yeah, like it just.
Like Slavkovsky.
But he was coming behind the net.
He had the puck. He just passed the puck, and Shen hit him.
Yeah.
Like, it was basically a roughing the passer penalty.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. It was a protecting a quarterback. Instead, it was protect the first overall pick.
Here's what drives me nuts. And you hear it and see it all the time. Somebody's like, he's picking on a kid. That guy's playing in the NHL.
Exactly.
And he's 6'4".
He's a monster. Keep your head up.
But you don't. Like, when you're skating around out there, not once did I go, okay, that kid's 18. You can't go near him. You, like, all you do is, if that guy has a jersey on, he's fair game.
Absolutely.
Within the rule book.
It's just crazy the goings on. Like, we played in an era with some monsters,
different,
Jamie.
Yeah, it's a different.
But I was a skilled 19-year-old kid, and I could run, or I could hit, I like to hit. I would run guys over, whether it be a tough guy, a fourth line guy. And that's because I had guys on my bench that said, if you're going to touch him, I'm going to kill you. And that's just, but you're not, like, a big hit and you have to fight. Luke Shen's been around a long time, and he hits a guy with his head staring at the puck, and he's got to fight for that?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
No, exactly. Along the boards, behind his net, in their zone, he's separating from the puck.
That's insane.
Is Luke Shen, he is, has he become a bigger mutant? Like, he's
huge.
Got a huge head.
He's a big man. He threw that Jack guy around last night, too.
Yeah.
Like, he like mauled him and was like, that's enough.
Dude, yeah. He gets that upper body going, and he's just like a video game, man. Like, he starts Coco Bonk.
And he's become a really good player. Like, a really solid, all-time.
I don't know. This is nothing to, like, write home. I think he's the all-time hits leader in hockey.
He took the lead, he took the lead like a week ago or something.
Because there was probably a stretch in his career where it was thinning out for him because the speed of the game has never been great. But he's become, you know, a quality. Not that he wasn't, because he started as such a kid here. I remember the whispers. You guys could talk about it way more.
Yep.
Like, I was in the league. I remember the whispers like, this guy's the captain of the Leafs at 18 type of thing. There was
absolutely
that type of hope here for him in Toronto. But reinvented himself, stuck with it. And I think it's impressive. But I'm in the minority of it, I believe, because he plays a physical game like a lot of guys. You know, who's the right-handed shot in Florida with the beard kind of?
Gudas.
Like, there's some gritty stay-at-home D that still are effective if they time their hits properly and don't hit from behind and do all the stupid things.
Right, and they should hit. Like, there's a real opportunity for someone to be a household name by being a guy who just hits.
Dude, I'd be curious if coaches, like coaching, and Johnny would probably know because he's a smarty pants. Like, are they even saying go in the corner and finish a check? Probably not. Like, I don't know.
Body positioning.
Dude,
now.
I'm telling you, it's probably not in the game plan for a lot of defensive systems these days.
Well, here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What are you hearing on that front, Johnny? The idea of defensemen maybe not finishing their checks and that being okay with their coach?
Well, being the resident smarty pants.
I love that smarty pants.
Would you admit that you are a smarty pants?
Is that a compliment?
It is.
Like, he's a smart guy. He's a smarty pants.
Sounds condescending.
Yeah, I think it's.
He feels like smarty pants. He's like, I'm arrogant about it. Like, if I'm smart, it's one thing. If I'm smart and I'm trying to prove I'm smart, then I'm a smarty pants.
Okay, I retract the comment, smarty pants.
I've never heard that saying since I was like 8.
Yeah. It's like the Charlie Brown show right now.
This is smarty pants. Yeah, your dad would say that to you.
I'm just going to go with a smart dude, okay? Let's start again. We're bringing in a smart dude. TSN hockey, Mike Johnson. Johnny, go ahead and answer the question.
Hey, good to talk to you. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
You got it.
I think you're right. I think there are times when coaches will let guys go hit or encourage guys to go hit. But I think it's more about being physical in the point of confrontation for the puck. Which is different than hitting, right? Like, so with the puck battle, it's a box out, it's a rebound. They want you to be super physical in that battle, working for it, but not necessarily like running guys into the boards. I think some of it is because so many players now don't do it prior to the NHL. They don't really know how to. They don't know how to kind of like pick their spots and get their timing right where they're not running out of position, chasing hits that aren't there. So no, it's not something that is emphasized. We need to hit more. It's more we need to be physical in battling for the puck.
Yeah, we were because we were talking about the big hits, like Luke Shen's hit last night, which I thought was a great hit, and absolutely absurd that it was penalized. Dahlin's hit, Trouba's hit, like these are just great, clean hits. And it's almost like these players are not given credit for learning that you can't come off the ice, you got to keep your elbow in, like all these different things that we've been talking about for over a decade, which was very necessary because headshots had to come to an end. That was a real issue a decade ago. And it's just like the refs, I almost feel for the refs because they're terrified to not give a penalty because if it gets reviewed and it's a suspension, that ref's on ice, right?
Right.
100%. And it reflects badly on them. How could you miss a suspendable hit?
Right.
And I'm watching like the Trouba one on Athanasiou, and Athanasiou is like, get him out of the league. I'm like, and you might be surprised to hear this, how about you don't skate up the middle of the ice, your head down? How
exactly.
Does that come down?
Exactly.
Like, where is, like, 'cause that, by the rule book, is illegal.
Yeah, he's gone. Smarty Pants is gone.
Smart dude. We'll see if we can get the smart dude.
But that, I mean, he's right. By the letter of the law, and I think there are people on both sides of the fence that are going, that's a fine hit. But now you're seeing everyone in the league. The players on the ice, it's a reaction. Like, I understand.
Noodles, it's European refereeing. The ref just says, I don't even know. This is not a penalty, but I'm going to make something up because I thought
it's because they're terrified that when it gets reviewed, it live they didn't see the elbow come up,
right,
or something.
That's right. They're covering their own ass and making something up. They're like, that was just too much, and I've got to make up something that might fit that, whether it be interference or charging.
I'll tell you what, the players aren't helping either because we goof on soccer all the time.
Yeah.
Slavkovsky got up looking around. Where's my call?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there to see you. That's shut up, dude. Like, that's so lame.
Like the comments.
Well, you can't talk like that anymore.
But it's like, it doesn't help that the guys getting hit are like, hey, where's my penalty?
Right.
It's like,
you
got hit.
I say this all the time.
What's the problem?
That Aleš Hamski used to skate through the middle of the ice and play, like, defensemen would just crush it. Robin Regier made a living out of it. He would ride him into the boards or knock him out in the middle of the ice, and all you would hear is the Oilers bench going, why are you going in the middle? Like, they're giving the player heck, not the other defender.
It's on you to figure it out.
It's on you to know where there are dangerous spots on the ice. Really, I think in the players' minds now, there's no dangerous spots out there.
That's what has happened here. Yeah, we got Johnny back. Would you agree with that, Johnny? The assessment that most players in the league just feel like I can go anywhere at any time, head up, head down, back to the play, and I'll be okay.
Yes, 100%. Noodles is right. Like, there's just this, I guess it's an empowered sense of security because of the rule changes and the nature of the game that you can put yourself in an awful spot, cutting through the middle, head down, looking for a wrist or in the slot. And guys just don't think they're going to get hit like that because most guys don't get hit like that. But I disagree with it. I think there is, like, you know, protecting players is important. Protecting his headshots is important. But
yes.
You can't, like, if guys hit you clean and it's hard, that's not their problem. That's kind of your problem. Like, look out where you, like, the Athanasiou comments, I was just like, what are you talking about, man? Like, that is one, like, you just think you can skate up the middle of the ice, push the puck forward and go for a breakaway and no one's going to step into you? Like, that is not his fault. That's your fault. And you're right. It's so different and safer, which is good. But I think there is a still spot, if you time it right and you do it properly, to make it clean and heavy. And that's not a bad thing.
That's where I talked before you came on, Johnny. That's where I was at. Now when I watch a game, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, when I see a hit like that, in my mind, I run through a checklist. Instead of going, oh, that's a big hit. It's like, okay, was the head contacted? Did he leave it? You know, did he come off the ice? Like, you're almost looking like it's
you've been programmed.
You're programmed to go suspension or not type of thing. And going, instead of a guy with his head up his rear coming through the middle.
Do you think the league would promote a big hitter? I don't think they
Absolutely
would.
Absolutely not.
I don't think they would.
Like on a national broadcast, it wouldn't show a massive
hit. They wouldn't want it.
Here's where I would disagree. Alex Ovechkin's a big hitter. That's the only thing. If he backs it up with goals, and because we all know Ovechkin not scoring, he'll run somebody through the boards.
Yes.
Like, that's the only... he did that against Pittsburgh. He took out two of their defensemen in one game. I think in one period. I don't know if you remember that, Johnny. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Johnny, do you ever think it'll get to a point where it's more like the women's game where there's actually no body contact?
No. And I think it was like Tom Wilson gets promoted pretty heavily because he's a good player to go with the hitting, right? When he's in the lineup.
Right.
He's the guy that might be a little bit of a unicorn that way. But no, I don't think so. Well, I just think it's going to continue to morph into physical at times. The big hit has largely gone away. The big open ice hit. That's why we're talking about it, because it happens so rarely. But I still think there's a large portion of hockey fans that enjoy physical play, that don't mind fighting. Nobody wants to see guys get concussed and have their future health compromised. But, like, they don't want to see a game where there's no hitting. They don't want to see a game where there is no emotion. And to a lot of fans, they don't want to see a game where there's no fighting.
Right.
Now, the league can't say that out loud, and I understand why. They can't say for legal reasons and CTE and concussion and all these things. But, you know, I think there's a chunk of fans that are totally okay with big, violent collisions.
I think the majority of fans.
So they will massage the rules to make it safer, which is good, but I can't ever imagine it going all the way to where there's like almost none.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, Leafs in Dallas tonight. Is the Marner versus Robertson with the streak, where Robertson's got points in 18 straight games, Marner's got points in 19 straight games, is that even larger than the actual results of this game for you? Like, is that the primary kind of viewing experience, what happens with these two guys?
It's funny, because for Mitch, now that he has the record on his own, it seems less important that he keeps it going. You know what I mean? Like, he's got
right.
it. So whether he ends at 19 or 21 or 24, like, he's not going to get to 50. So, like, you know, it's all just gravy at this point. I think for the Leafs, it's more they want to go play it well again. Like, get back on track. The Mitch story's been awesome, and it's still going. You're not going to concede everything. But I think just the Leafs playing well, and now it's not really about the point streak. For Dallas, Jason Robertson is two away from their franchise record. I think Brian Bellows had 20. So for him, he's probably like Mitch was 2 games ago, where it is the biggest part of the game for the Stars at this point. He is so good, though. If you don't watch Jason Robertson often.
We call him Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, well, he could do worse than what Pete Davidson's been as of late, but...
Johnny, because he's not the fastest skater. He doesn't have the best shot, but man, is he dialed.
That's a lot of work.
Very productive.
He just gets it done.
A lot of
scoring going on. Yes, exactly. So when you watch him, you're like, man, he's so crafty. He's got the puck all the time. And with him and Pavelski, they are a handful. So that I'll watch Robertson for his streak, but I'm almost... not to diminish it at all, but kind of less intrigued by whether Mitch Marner keeps his alive now that he has it all to himself.
Johnny, with Robertson and Dallas, you know, that team, I've been trying to track them a lot recently. I'm doing a game there on whatever it is, Thursday. But they, when you look at it, like Jamie Benn has given kind of Robertson some space, and they've had a resurgence there. It wasn't a while ago where we thought maybe Jamie Benn's best years were behind him. You know, what are you seeing in a guy like Ben, and that frees up some space for Robertson?
Well, it's been 5 years since Jamie Benn has had a start to a season like this. His points per game have slowly been going the wrong way for 5 straight years. So, of course, you think his best years are behind him. But in training camp, Noodles, he looked at this Wyatt Johnston, kid from Toronto,
yep,
talented player, lit up the OHL last year, led the OHL in scoring, if I'm not mistaken, and said to his coach, I want to play with him. But he specifically requested, and for the most of the year, Ben has been with Johnston and Ty Dellandrea, two young guys, and he's acting like their big brother, like, you guys go play, let's introduce speed and skill and scoring into my line, I'll try to take care of you, and it's worked really well. They're playing faster. It looks like he's a little bit lighter, so, you know, maybe can skate a little bit better now than he has been the previous years. And then I also think playing under a different coach. You know, Rick Bowness, under his system, very defensive, very restrictive. I think Pete DeBoer, under his, is saying, you know what, go get him, guys. Go attack and be creative. And with these two young guys, he's off to a hugely successful start. I didn't see it coming at all. And that line has kind of changed the complexion of the Stars team.
So it sounds like Shane Wright is probably going to play tonight. He was called back up yesterday, I believe, or the day before. Montreal's in town.
For what? He's got to get even with
Montreal. Well, he was conditioning. His time was up with conditioning.
Yeah, they sent him down.
But you know the deal here. It's like, well, he got dissed by Montreal, so let's get... I don't know. It just seems like it's...
It's weird because he didn't go second. Like, did Arizona punk him?
Was it New Jersey pick Nemitz? Was it a revenge game against Jersey? The revenge game on Logan Cooley in Arizona? Like,
right.
I know he was supposed to go first, and it's a sexy story because it's Montreal, but I was right. Like, there's no beef here. You know, I mean, like, get over it.
Well,
like,
I don't even care if a guy said from Montreal, called him in the morning and said, like happened to me in the OHL draft, we're taking you number one overall. And I said, thanks a lot. And if I got up there and they didn't take me, it's not like I'm holding a grudge.
Yeah, was much more made about that look.
Like, yeah, I think so. Him
on the podium, did he actually glare at Montreal's
table? He doesn't even seem like the kind of guy that would make that glare.
He could have been trying to focus his eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows what he was doing, but it just was...
trying to find his parents. Who knows, right? Like, whatever.
But all of a sudden, it made so much noise. It's like, oh, he was glaring at Montreal's table.
Right.
You have no idea what he was looking at.
If you want to make it entertaining, though, and you're pissed off, go and fight Slavkovsky and just try to fight him.
Hey, like, now we're talking.
Yeah, like, if you really have a grudge, go out there and fight Slavkovsky.
Or chop him across the laces or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of is made of it. The other thing, what bothers me is Shane Wright isn't a bust 20 games into his NHL / minor league career.
Mitch Marner went back to junior and lit it up, and then he's a superstar.
There's no shame in these players having different paths to look at Lafreniere. They're still trying to figure out what this kid is in New York, and how many years is
it's been
now?
A couple of years in the NHL,
right? Like,
now, yeah.
I think he's going to be fine. The kids in New Jersey, it took those guys a while to arrive. Hughes and Heischer, like, everyone has their own path.
Yeah.
I think Shane Wright will be fine, but people saying, "Well, Seattle's messing with his development." Seattle, they've got nothing but time out there, and they've got a winning team. Seattle's been a really good team this year. He's having a tough time making that lineup.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe the timing of this, I think, goes on to something. There is something about that it's Montreal if they're going to get him into the game. But I think, you know, they probably play him, and they probably release him. If I'm running Seattle, I'm releasing him to the World Junior team. Like, go back, play with kids your own age, be a star, play in Canada, try to win a gold medal. You didn't get that experience in the summer, so go do that. Like, there's no rush on you. The team doesn't necessarily really need him at this point in Seattle.
But when you say go to the World Juniors, Johnny, do you say go to Kingston after that?
Probably. I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, because you're only going to have, I think tonight, if he plays, will be his eighth game.
Yeah,
right?
And you topple that on the idea he's with COVID and stuff, he hasn't played that much hockey in the last 2 years.
And go to the, I know you would know this, like, go to the OHL and absolutely terrorize that league.
Yes.
Like, he was good last year, but with the 2 years missed development, he wasn't, like, obscenely good.
Yeah.
Go there and get 3 points a game.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, play for some team that's going for the OHL championship. Go play in the World Championship in the spring, and you'll be so much better off for it next fall when you come to play strictly in the NHL as our second line center. And start your NHL career that way. That's how I would do it if I was running Seattle. And I think it would be probably his best path, just to kind of take the extra year, get some consistency post-Christmas, and then launch his NHL career after that.
Well, we'll see what he's got in store tonight. Leafs in Dallas, Habs at Seattle tonight.
And the thanks, there's two different characters in Toronto. One's dark guy, you're smart guy. Thanks, pal.
All right. Make it a gift, not with 20 cigarettes in my mouth, but me in a textbook. Yes. Note in a textbook.
Yeah. We'll take care of you, Johnny. Don't you worry.
I bet you will. Yeah. I bet you will.
Don't you worry. We're on it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Mike Johnson joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Just so you know, Smarty Pants is a backhanded shot.
Of course it is. No, my dad used to say that to me all the time. Like, hey, come here, Smarty Pants. Like, if I was being a smartass as a kid.
Yeah, or
all the time.
The kid
no, I thought
really
it was like if you were in school,
like, oh, smarty pants.
Oh, you got like 90% in your test. Your teacher would be like, "Aren't you a little smarty
no,
pants?"
It's not a compliment,
dude. It is.
There's nothing about it that is complimentary.
It's a backhanded compliment.
It's a backhanded slap.
A Rod,
JP and A Rod,
smarty pants, smart ass remark, or compliment.
I think it's
fire it up on the poll question.
It's a smart ass remark.
Condescending or compliment?
Yes.
That's your poll. Those are your two options. When someone calls someone smarty pants,
yeah,
is it condescending or a compliment?
But okay, the poll is only lasting until the end of this show, and then we're taking it down.
Okay, throw it up, and then it's all good. We got to go because we got possibly some big news in baseball.
Love it.
We'll come back. We'll tell you about that next.
We did have some massive news from MLB, but Hazy B, let's go to the update desk.
Yeah, we have a flag on the field, man. This is a pretty significant infraction.
That is a big flag. Like,
massive infraction, because John Heyman, who's one of the most connected guys in baseball, like one of the three or four guys, do you think Passan, you think Rosenthal, Heyman's one of those guys.
He just went Ernie Els on the first green at the Masters.
Yeah, he's got the yips because he tweets out 5 minutes ago, Aaron Judge appears headed to Giants, right before we hit a break. I'm like, there we go. There's a tease. We got massive news. Judge is pulling the pin on the Yankees, and he's going to San Francisco. He follows that up 4 minutes later, John Heyman. Giants say they've not heard on Aaron Judge. My apologies for jumping the gun.
I always wonder how you jumped the gun. Did you get tipped off by an agent, a trainer? That's what I respect about our people so much in this building. They don't go with it unless it's flying.
But, like, why wouldn't you call the Giants and say, hey, I just heard it's done. Can you...
Dude,
like,
you
blink
know how,
twice
you know
if
how
it's
I
true.
Would have handled that. I would have said, somebody grabbed my phone and I got hacked.
Yes.
And sorry.
You have to claim hacked.
Well, you have to.
If
that
you
tweet.
Because it's the biggest thing in baseball. Everyone's waiting for Judge. Furthermore, it's a bombshell. He's leaving New York.
Yes.
Like, it's the scoop everyone wants is him leaving the Yankees.
It's the King Daddy Topper of the winter meeting scoops, and he just absolutely took a ninja sword to it. What I want to know, does he comment on the issue moving forward, or does he say,
well,
I'm looking at it. He posted, Giants say they have not heard from Judge. My apologies. They're right now, that was 4 minutes ago. There is 4,112 comments.
Oh, people are going nuts
on him.
It's
been retweeted 7,000 times. Like, and the analytics on it just keep going up.
Oh, of course.
People, if you read the comments, people are just going to be chewing this guy alive.
Now, to his credit, he's left the original tweet up. That thing would have disappeared off my page so fast.
I would have waited an hour and posted a vid at a phone store saying, getting my new phone. Someone stole my other one. Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm back. Hashtag I'm back.
You have to have an escape plan.
I think
here.
He took the tweet down.
Did he delete it?
Yes.
Okay, I got to refresh his page because I'm looking at his page and it's still up there. He even the first tweet, he spelled Aaron wrong. It said, Arson Judge appears headed to Giants. 3 minutes later, he realized that mistake, followed up, Aaron Judge appears headed to Giants. He didn't delete the initial one, which is necessary. Like, Twitter's got to have an edit button. We've all said that forever. You got to have it. But you got to get rid of all that stuff. Like, you have to. I just, you know, from a journalism standpoint, how do you not call the Giants?
Dude, I mean, we're kind of goofing on it, and I'm sure everybody in the industry, insiders, have done it, but what he set himself up for is every time he tweets some news or info, everyone's going to be like, you're a clown.
Yeah, it's a tough hit for the credibility. And again, he's very connected. Like, he's an MLB Network guy, New York Post. I think he was with SI forever. Like, really connected, and really connected in New York. He's a New York guy.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing. People in New York are going to be all over him. But you had Judge going to the Giants.
Arson Judge, though. Arson.
Imagine he claimed that. I never said Aaron Judge.
I didn't say Aaron Judge. It was arson.
There's a guy in the minor leagues named Arson Judge.
Judge.
Oh. I'm telling you, I would have waited an hour and then posted a vid. Hey, gang, got my phone back. Somebody stole mine at the airport. Hashtag I'm back.
Anything happened the last hour?
Yeah. Sorry,
hashtag
I was hacked. That is just
you awesome. Gotta claim hacked.
No, if someone stole my
phone. Or stolen phone.
Hashtag I'm back. Sorry, what's... Oh, my God. Somebody's been tweeting about Aaron Judge on my account.
What if it was one of his booze bag buddies that he left his computer open and went to take a leak, and his buddy wrote in very quickly?
That like, would be
Arson
so
Judge, said it to
greasy.
The judge, and then go back and sit on the couch. Could you imagine?
I mean, again, I would prefer to come up with that explanation.
Right.
Like, to his credit, it takes stones to just come out and say... I totally missed.
Sorry, I missed that.
Now, maybe he has been told this is where it's going. Right. Like, I wonder if there's an interpretation there. And let's be honest, if you're in Toronto, you're praying this happens. Get Judge out of New York. Get him out of the AL East.
Yeah.
Like, if he leaves, the Yankees are in massive trouble. Like, he was their team last year.
Judge going to the Giants is all that saves this cat for this particular...
It has to happen, though.
It has to happen.
Because if it does, I think there's a saving grace there. He can say, listen, I knew it was coming. I jumped on the report. I can explain what happened here.
All he has to do is one tweet where he totally puts himself back in the good books. I told you guys I didn't have the full details, but I knew it was going down, so there you go.
Yes, my sources were correct, but, you know, to credit the Giants, because they're a classy organization, they said, can you take it down or whatever. But, man, this guy signs if he signs with the Yankees in the next hour, who was your source that claimed this guy was going to the Giants? Man, I thought that was big news. We were in the break talking about all the different angles.
Yeah.
What it means for the Yankees.
Well, we were
what
a
scoop for San Francisco.
About the Smarty Pants and all that. And then you gave us the kind of like.
Oh, it was a Heisman, basically. Like, I got a tease here.
Wow. I mean,
man, if you're Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, they never admit it publicly.
Right.
And I understand why, because it's not the classy thing to do. But I wish they would publicly just say, we're dying for Judge to leave.
Yeah.
You know, like if we asked Ross. Out front, like just outright, do you want Judge to return to New York? He'd probably say, I don't care.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Talk about my,
I'm not worried about what others
but
do.
But when the mic came off, he'd be like, yes, that
of
guy's
course.
The boogeyman.
He's you're
the boogeyman.
Dying for him to leave New York.
Yes. I mean, if somebody.
It's a massive win for every other team.
Absolutely. Like, you do want that because that is a guy who has been. A dominant player.
He's a kryptonite. Won the MVP. You know? So he's the best player in the league.
You want anybody who could stand in your way out of your way.
Yes.
So, yes.
You want the teams you're competing with to get worse.
Exactly.
Like, dramatically worse.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not a bigger drop-off for any team in baseball right now than Aaron Judge leaving the Yankees.
Dude, I kind of think he is leaving the Yankees.
I want him.
And there was something about that corny video at the airport where the lady was like, hey, Aaron Judge, what are you doing in San Francisco?
Well, he was in Tampa last night. You see him just doing the round. Like, I don't know what he was at the game. I mean, he was hanging out with Brady and...
You think that was a plant? You think that was...
That was 100% a plant. Why is he walking through the airport? Like, that guy would have been
is
flying
his
private.
Scott Boris?
No, his agent, I don't believe it's Boris. I don't think
he's
a Boris guy.
Because you know Boris would, like, there would be more theater to this.
Yes.
If Boris was involved.
Yes. Boris did his little spiel, I think, today, was setting up shop.
We were just talking on at the break. It's like, screw the Yankees. I mean, you're going to do that to one of those players? Like, how could you not have locked him up at the number at the beginning of the season? But the other side of it is, maybe they looked at him and said, no matter what he does this year, no matter how many homers he hits, that might be the beginning of the end.
That's the best you're going to get.
Right.
He's not hitting 62 again.
No, but...
Like, there's no way he's having another year like
they
that.
They know things behind the scenes. Maybe his body is deteriorating. He has, you know, he was healthy last year, but, you know, maybe their docs are like,
they'll leak that.
Years.
I guarantee you. If he's, because they're dying to keep him.
Right.
Right, like it'll be very disingenuous when afterwards they leak it through. We're actually okay with this.
Yeah, we were concerned.
You know, we're a little concerned about his knees.
Yeah,
dude, that's a big like. Yeah, the Yankees are the Yankees, man. That jersey, the Judge, the
big
99, the homers.
He's the king in New York, too.
Cashman,
man.
Regardless of the scenario, Cashman will get destroyed for that one.
Well, Cashman just got an extension. He's there through 26. Like, he's not going anywhere.
Dude, that
Boone's
guy's
coming
never
back.
Going anywhere.
No, he's not. Cashman's been there for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow. He's not going anywhere. Boone's coming back. If Judge leaves, I don't know how they explain it, and they're not going to be able to fill that void.
Well, like, how do you fill that void?
They're not even going to be close.
So what is your Jerry's percent? You think he's
staying? I think it's 50-50. I think he's enamored with the Giants and the pursuit. I think he felt burned last year that the Yankees, didn't give him a good enough deal, and B, went public with the details. He really was unhappy about that. And if you're going to bet on yourself, which you did, and then you perform the way you do,
On yourself, you probably reward yourself with going to a, like, he's a California kid, isn't he?
Well, apparently that's always been his dream, is kind of like playing for the Giants.
Well, I secretly want him to.
Johnny Heyman's right.
I'd like him to sign back with the Yankees just to see.
Just to jam John Heyman.
Not to jam him up, but John I'd just Heyman. Like to see, like, where he goes with this. Because, you know, that's his job. He has to answer to somebody for that. Like, you get a call from his boss going, what are you doing here?
Mm.
Like, somebody, his superiors would be calling him going, what are we doing? Like, what are you hearing?
Yeah.
Because that's a big boo-boo if it doesn't happen, right?
Absolutely it is. Matt tweeting him with a good question, because you know how the Jays always leak it out that they were in on everyone?
Yes.
Like, it sounds like Andrew Heaney signed with the Rangers and they were in on him. Somehow the Rangers found the money, so he's going
to
Texas.
That's a cop out, and that's leaking it to people, just saying
we're in on that guy.
Yeah. We were in on that guy, and we missed out. How do we know that?
And Matt's asking, do you think the Jays would have the audacity to leak that they were in on Aaron Judge?
No,
maybe
they might. I wouldn't put it past them.
They might have thrown out.
Yeah,
a sniff.
Were in on him. We took a little. We were just sniffing around.
You better say just a sniff, though. If you say any more than that, we were in on him, that's ludicrous.
They're not in on him.
It's your job to call the agent.
But that doesn't count as in on him.
No.
The Rays call people.
But I think
agent, I swear to God, people write pieces and say, I talked to execs around. No, you didn't. I read some pieces on Twitter where the comment is, a bunch of different execs. No, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, how would you ever know?
You could never know.
How would you know?
You're just blurting that out.
My point is, you call the agent. The agent might say, thanks for the call, but zero chance you're in on it. Mm-hmm. He's looking at a couple different scenarios. And
that's got to really hurt. If you call, like, you go to your owner goes, you know what, go for it, give it a shot. And you call the agent just says he would not even consider you.
Well,
like, I'm not even going to give him the information. Thank you for the call, but you're out.
I've had those conversations talking to people about players in the summer, and it's like, no, that wouldn't even be a possibility. Yeah. I've talked to coaches, too. They're like, never.
Right. Yeah. Like, not going there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't call me, don't waste time.
But it goes both ways, too, where players are linked to that organization. The organization's like, we weren't in on him. We don't want that guy.
Right. Of course, that would happen.
That
I don't know how our team got attached, but we wouldn't touch that guy with a 10-foot pole.
I'll never say the team or whatever. I mean, how many trade centers have we been sitting there where it's like, yeah, speculation, this guy's going there. You get a message from somebody in that organization like,
saying who?
We're not even close on that guy. What are you guys talking about? You know, like, but that's it. There is a lot of smoke and fire, but it sounds like it's either California or it's New York for Judge, and that's it. I want New York now. Because that puts a roadblock for the Jays. But just more for...
If you're thinking from a Blue Jay standpoint, but you're right, in terms of content, in terms of just this report, listen, getting to see him play here, like when Judge rolls through town, it's a scene. Like, it really is a scene. And if he goes to the West Coast and he's in the National League, you're not going to see him much.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you can go down 9-10 times a year and watch Aaron Judge in your backyard. That's pretty significant.
Yeah. And the Yankees are always a big draw.
Absolutely.
They're just
But if he leaves, like, there are, with what the Red Sox have done recently, and it all started with the Mookie Betts trade, they are a different vibe.
Well, they're losing Bogarts this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're a different vibe. Like, they're not a destination anymore. They're dysfunctional. They don't win. So Boston's off to the side. If Judge leaves New York high and dry, the Yankees are totally different.
Yeah.
Like, it could really be the turning of a page here. And the Jays, you know, they were a playoff team last year. They won 91 games the year before.
Well, like, Cashman's going to get a bogey for this one for letting Judge walk if it ultimately happens. But he's not a dum-dum. He's going to have a backup
plan.
That's
what I was just going to say.
But it won't be enough to fill that production.
What did we experience yesterday with the pitching? You went from DeGrom to
Verlander.
So who would be, if Judge leaves, who are the Yankees in on immediately?
Question. Probably Brandon Nemo.
Him.
Like, there's guys.
Right.
Like,
but
good players. But
I just got to say
you're
this.
You're not getting a Judge.
sometimes you get fascinated with an individual who puts up individual numbers, and it does help team success. But I found from watching sports my whole life, if you fall in love with that and you think you can't, you're wrong if you think you can't win afterwards. I've seen hockey teams.
Absolutely. You can always recover.
Well, yeah.
There's always an example.
Colorado Avalanche, Peter Forsberg blows his leg out in the playoffs, and they're like, how are we going to win with
that? Look at the Nationals. Bryce Harper left. The year he left, they won a World Series.
Exactly. So just because it might happen, it doesn't mean it's game over.
But true. The executives have to be able to pivot on the fly and go, okay, if this is, they've probably thought out 12 different scenarios.
Of course, they've got plans.
Leaving, this is plan A.
And think about how much money gets available if he doesn't take what's on the table. It's a big part of the budget.
Yeah, they might try and replace his home runs with two different players and move the roster around. Like that's what they think. They got guys in rooms that are crunching numbers, that are doing all sorts of things that, you know, we're sitting here spitballing in 5 minutes because John Heyman decides to throw a tweet out.
Look at the Yankees teams that won all those championships. Derek Jeter was their superstar, and he wasn't some individual, like, masher.
No, exactly. It was good pitching, defense, clutch hitting. Maybe they go for Shohei Ohtani. Like, Ohtani's got one more year left in L.A., and no guarantees he's going to stay there.
That would be a transaction that would
ease
the pain.
That would be absolutely
easy. That's not even a soft landing.
No, that could be an upgrade.
Ohtani's in your rotation.
It could be an upgrade. He's give you 30 starts and 40 bombs. It could be.
That's the only thing that would make people say, judge who?
Yes. If he left and they immediately pulled the trigger on a Shohei Ohtani deal, Judge would be out of the way pretty quickly.
Okay, we're fine. Thank you very much for the...
Loved your service. Have fun in San Fran. We're good.
Yeah.
We got Shohei. Anyway, the Jays awfully quiet. They're in on a lot. They're sniffing around.
The Jays will come up with something.
They will. They'll sign an arm or two. Like our boy Keegan Mathison, who I think is out there, and Keegan brings up a good point. Like he's saying they need two arms in the rotation. Like you can't go into a season thinking Mitch White and Yusei Kikuchi are options. They're not. So you got Barrios, who you're going to start, clearly. You got Gausman, you got Manoah. You got three guys. Like you got to find two arms that you think can give you 60 starts combined.
Like, don't forget Strips.
Strips is a free agent, though. It doesn't sound like Chicken Strips is... Like, I don't know why that's just gone, like why you're not having conversations with him, but I'd be looking to re-sign him.
It depends on...
Unless it's Kikuchi plus a dollar, like as we established last hour. That's the beginning of the negotiation.
It depends on who's out there and what their price points are.
Of course.
Because they could say that guy is an upgrade on Strips, or we believe he will be an upgrade on Strips.
I think the Yankees are sniffing around on Chicken Strips, too. Like, you start getting into
that would shut people up in New York if they lose Judge and they bring in Chicken Baked Strips.
Yeah. Kikuchi plus a dollar.
Yeah.
That's his contract. Judge out, Kikuchi plus a dollar in the form of Ross Stripling. That's what's in. Confirm or deny in 20 minutes. Back into the NFL, the Bucs survived last night. Tom Brady, man, he quieted a lot of people with 3 minutes to go. And the Leafs in action tonight. Raptors, Lakers tomorrow. We'll start looking ahead to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, confirm or deny in about 15 minutes. I guess we're tracking the Aaron Judge negotiations. Leafs are in action tonight. They're in Dallas. I'm not surprised that Jason Robertson is obviously pumping the tires of his brother. You would think biggest supporter, of course. He wants him to work and to succeed. But he made a comment today where he said, effectively, like, no one works harder for the Leafs than Nick Robertson. Like, no one works harder on that team. And I'm like, that's kind of a strange comment. How would you know that no one else...
What about number 16?
Yeah, Mitch works pretty hard.
How about 91? Works his ass off.
John works pretty hard.
Nick works hard,
but yeah. He's in the gym more than everyone? How would you know that?
That might have been just a comment that got away from him and he didn't word it properly.
His brother, too, so free pass.
But it just...
It's just a strange thing to comment on. Like,
back end. Nobody works harder than my brother.
Yeah, he works harder than everyone else.
Stop talking about it, because now the conspiracy theory of Nick told Jason this, that he's the heart. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going down that road. No way, no how.
No, but Nick liked to, even the last couple of years, isn't he a guy that posted every
He's a poster. He's a workout poster. He's
rollerblade
poster. Yeah, he's a poster.
Good. So, I mean, he's still got to find his way here.
Yeah.
Young kid.
Best game he's played was against Dallas. That's when he scored the OT winner. He had a great game.
Yeah. He's got to find his way. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I would say. Like
he's going again tonight.
But he's getting opportunity. Eventually,
he's got to salvage
get that consistency.
Yeah, I didn't think he did much on Saturday night.
No, he didn't. And bodies start coming back. He better make an impression. He's running out of time, man.
Yeah,
he spent the rest of the year in the American Hockey.
That was a big boy game, though. Like that. That kind of is a measuring stick game, and you see where your game is at. If you know he was leaning.
I didn't
on a
notice so much.
There.
It was just kind of he was just around.
Yeah,
kind of around on Saturday night. See what he's got tonight. Leaf Stars tonight. We'll tee that up in the final hour. Confirm or deny still to come as well. And back into Bucks stealing one on the Saints on Monday Night Football. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.